You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So today we are focusing on a vital topic for young women, setting spiritual goals for personal growth. We'll explore how establishing and pursuing these goals can lead to a deeper relationship with God, a stronger sense of purpose, and a more fulfilling life. Setting spiritual goals is about more than just enhancing our faith. It is about aligning our lives with God's will and growing in virtues like love, patience, and humility. We are joined on the line by my sister, Sister Patha Masinja, who is going to be helping us unpack all things ambition. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Zainele. How are you?
I am good. And you?
I'm all right.
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us about this brilliant, beautiful topic. I'm going to ask that before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay, sure. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we say thank you for this time and privilege to speak on this important topic on purpose and ambition, spiritual goals in a nutshell. I pray, my Father, my Lord, that may help us to learn more and more from you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So we're speaking about all things ambition, Sister Martha. So what are some spiritual growths? What are, in fact, spiritual goals? You can even have spiritual goals. But anyway, what are spiritual goals and why are they important for our personal growth?
Okay. So firstly, I want to say thank you for this opportunity to speak to the audience, as well as speaking to you. I was excited when I was told that I was going to speak to Zanelli. Okay? And then the other thing I want to mention is that what I'm going to talk about, maybe this same spiritual goals issue, I want to give credit to a book of which I'm also on a journey of spiritual goals. So I'm also going to recommend a book that I like to read, which is Women of Virtue, written by Sharon Platt McDonald. So already that should show you that, as well as I am also looking at spiritual goals, I'm also embarking on this journey. So spiritual goals, these are goals or steps we purposely take to draw closer to God. Just when we just say it maybe in a layman's language, these are just steps someone takes to purposely draw closer to God. So those are spiritual goals. And then why are they important? They are important actually because they help us, like already the definition says, they help us draw closer to God. And another one is they help us make sure that we know ourselves. And I think one of the things that many women, young women out there, like as well as I, are searching for is to know ourselves. So we know that immediately we know ourselves, then we can take over the world. I think that's what everyone thinks most of the time.
Yes.
So I think spiritual goals help us draw closer to God, help us know ourselves better, and be sure of ourselves. I think surety is an important aspect on this part.
That is true there. So what are some examples of spiritual goals that you young women can set? Because some people, they're like, but it's spiritual, you know, why would I set a goal? How would I measure you know, this goal that I've attained it or not? You know, but what are some examples that they can look at saying, ah, this is an example, so let me try and follow that line.
Okay, so you know, like I said, I also set spiritual goals, and I'm a young woman, Zanelli, like a very young woman, and honestly, I tell myself to say, but then I just do not need to set personal goals, because you know that there are so many types of goals. I do not just need to set personal goals. I also need to set some other goals, like financial goals, personal goals, as well as spiritual goals, because I know, I mean, a person has to grow holistically, right? So an example of a spiritual goal I can give, I embark on, is a Bible study.
Okay.
I'll tell myself, okay, this spiritual goal that I'm going to make is Bible study. Maybe I'll wake up a little bit earlier in the morning and read my Bible. Another spiritual goal is fasting.
Okay.
You know, fasting, many people think as though maybe it's fasting from food, but you can fast from media, from fashion, from wearing high heels. You can fast from a lot of things. Your goal is just to be closer to God and ensure that you know yourself a little bit better. Another goal that someone can set is forgiveness. You want to be like Jesus Christ. You want to be like Jesus Christ. Like we said, we have those fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Mm. And so you want to set those goals to say, I want to have these fruits of the Spirit. But then how do I get there? Then you tell yourself to say, when someone does something to me, I want to practice forgiveness. Mm. And then as well as, let's say, another goal that you can say is confession. I want to grow a habit of confessing my wrongs to someone whom I have wronged, or to Jesus Christ himself, God, if I have sinned. We find that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, confess your sins and he's willing to forgive us, you know. And also another goal someone can take, can set is attending youth camps. Mm-hmm. There are many of us youths here who are listening. You know, sometimes you say, oh, well, there's a youth camp coming up and it's taking place at this and this time, at this place. You purpose it in your heart to say, okay, I'm going to attend this youth camp. Why? Because you know, if I attend this youth camp, maybe spiritually I might draw somewhere, a step further, a step ahead. Then you can also set another goal, maybe the last one, just to wrap it up, music.
Yes.
I want to sing. I want to sing for them. I think, Zanelli, you love singing. If I can hear your voice correctly, it's a voice that loves singing.
I was told not to sing on air.
Ringing. So, music is also another goal. It's sort of another spiritual goal that one can set. You know, when you sing, even the psalmist say, you know, you sing, you're singing to the Lord, you're praising God. In singing, many people actually, those anger issues, anger emotions, maybe someone was angry, they just tend to tone down. And all that is just a step that you're taking to draw closer to God. Remember, spiritual goal is just a step you're taking to draw closer to God. Mm. So those are some goals that one can set.
You know, you spoke about issues of, you know, fasting, Bible studies and etc. So how can now our girl children identify, you know, in their spirit, like areas in their spiritual life, you know, that need growth, you know, and the role that self-reflection and prayer play in that process? Because, for example, when you were mentioning fasting, someone was saying, I don't have a problem in terms of fasting, you know, or I don't struggle with that, but maybe I struggle, let's say, maybe praying for more than 5 minutes. You know, others who like, hey, I mean, every time I read the Bible, I just fall asleep, you know. But now what steps or how can they really pinpoint saying, this thing of me studying the Bible and I fall asleep, it's actually not good. I must actually work on it. Or me not being able to pray for more than 5 minutes, you know. So how would they now identify those issues?
Okay. So I think the identification issues, Anneli, is very tricky. I think you have really done well to bring that up. The issue of you identifying to say you are in need of this goal is what many of us are lacking. But then, if maybe just to help ourselves, sometimes some people, like, you would self-reflect. There's self-reflection. I think self-reflection is one of the key things that would tell you to say, I think, Zanelli, there I need, like, you're talking to yourself, but I think I'm lacking in that area. I'm lacking in Bible study. I know I fall asleep, but why do I fall asleep? What can I do not to fall asleep when I'm reading the Word of God, or when I'm praying, or just what makes me feel lazy? You self-reflect. I think self-reflection is the first step. Immediately you realize that there is need somewhere or there is a gap somewhere, then from there you know that, okay, you're heading in the right direction.
Sister Martha, we are losing her there. We are losing her there.
Hello?
Yes, we had lost you there a bit. Welcome back.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so like I said, self-reflection already is the first step, and it's already an indication to tell you that, okay, I think you're in the right direction, because you're able to note down the the discrepancy that you have in your life. And then after you self-reflect, then you, if possible, association. I think, Zanele, you can agree with me that association plays a big role in one's life.
True.
Friends that we have, the friends that we have, they play a very, very big role. And let me just say something. I'll take an example of the Ammon. You remember that issue of Ammon and Tamar?
Yes.
The two siblings, though Tamar was the sister, but he raped her. But remember, Ammon, before he decided to do that, he talks to his friend. I think there was a friend that he talked to.
Yeah,
he talked to his friend. But remember what the friend said?
Yes.
He actually, the friend gave him even an idea to say, why don't you do this? So if the friend was wise enough, would have said, but my friend, but I think this is not right. Why don't you tell your dad to take you somewhere far away so that this whole urge and desire just dies down? But the friend actually gave him the idea. So from there, I can say that association of friends plays a key role in you learning to embark on the journey of spiritual goals. You can find a friend who is in the same line or rather who is in the same journey in this same spiritual goals. There are some, many friends who tell you, for me, in the morning, I usually do Bible study. Then you tend to wonder, she usually does Bible study. And before she does Bible study, she goes for an exercise. Already that shows you to say this person is disciplined. True. You associate yourself in those lines. You say, you know, I think I also need to do better in my spiritual life and in my spiritual goals. So you associate with certain friends that will lead you in that direction. That you actually see to say they actually do it. They don't just say it from their mouth, they actually do it. And then from association, you can also pray. I know, like you said, it's quite hard for a young woman to just say, okay, I will pray. But, you know, it becomes less because you tend to wonder, say, what am I even going to say? Well, 5 minutes is actually too long. That's what I used to think. But as you grow, you tend to say, you have actually a lot of things to tell God. You have a lot of things to tell God. But then how do you realize that you have a lot of things to tell God?
Yes.
Be found in those places which challenge you to set those goals, those spiritual goals. Be found in the places like you know, like I said, the youth camp.
True.
Be found at church, youth meetings. You have departmental times. We have Sabbath school. Be found in those areas that will just challenge you to say, you're not doing enough. I know Wex, I think I've been following the radio station for some time.
Yeah.
We've talked of faith and Wex, but I know Wex cannot really make us have salvation. But you know, we also need to play a part. We also need to put in some effort for us to put in together with faith, and we put some effort, then we are good to go.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, that's good. So now when we're looking at these, you are having the friends that can guide you, like friends of the parking. They say birds of the same feather, né? Flock together. Now you're having these people, you know, that are helping you, and you've identified, you know, things that you need to improve on. So what practical steps now can they take to achieve, you know, their spiritual goals? Would it help, for example, I'm thinking, since we are people of phones these days, our phones, it's like they're our lives. I don't know why, but anyway, would it help setting, for example, a reminder on your phone, like pray? You know how we do for water every time we have a reminder for water. Would that be a practical step to help you in terms of like pray, you know, fast, or read the Bible? Would that be one of the things that they can do?
You know, you have actually read my mind, Zanele. Why? You've read my mind.
Yeah.
So, actually, it's that, like you said, many of the young women, especially even those in secondary school, you know, we have phones now. I think phones have come to stay. And especially the smartphones, you can set a reminder on your phone to do a certain activity. You can set a reminder to do an exercise, to set a reminder to say, okay, at this time you're going to pray. I set a reminder to say, okay, at this time, you can actually not do it alone. You can do it with a friend to say, since we wake up in the morning to go for school, let's set a reminder maybe at 04. I'll call you. We pray at that time. I don't know what time you finish, but at least at that time, I know that you and I will be praying together. You know, it's actually more fun when you do it with a friend. Set a reminder, and ensure that you do that Bible study or a prayer session or whatnot. Mm. And then another thing I can say is, like I have already said, inform your friends. Inform your friends, make it known to your friends that you really want to embark on this journey of spiritual goals. You know, friends will never know until you say that indeed I really want to draw closer to God. And if you show it to say, I really want to draw closer to God, and you've set those goals, like the goals that we've put, the camps, you know, the Bible study, and etc. So you can tell your friend. And another thing is, have a book where you write everything that you are, that you would like to do. I think I have a book. You write in that book to say, okay, I've been talking to God about forgiveness. I've been finding it hard to forgive. Lord, I think from the progress that I have had, I think I've managed to forgive 2 or 3 people. The forgetting part, yes, we might not forget, but I've managed to forgive 2 or 3 people. You write it down.
Yeah.
That's how writing things down works. I don't know how God has made it, but when you write something down, Habakkuk 2 verse 2, when you write something down, hey, it just goes to God and directly it works some mysterious things. Mm. So when you write things down, they really tell God of how sincere you are. Mm. Yes. And after that, maybe have a prayer partner. I think I've already said that.
Yes.
Basically, read books. Uh-huh. Now, yeah. I wanted to say this. Read books. Those are some steps. Not only the Bible, there are some complementary books that we can read to complement the Bible, you know, like the same books of Ellen G. White. And she has written 1,000 books.
True.
And those books are written on all kinds of lifestyles and everything, money mentioned, financial goals, everything. Mrs. White has written books. Talk of the Adventist home, that's marital, everything, just mention it. Mrs. White has written books. You can take a book. You can have a book club. Read with friends. Those are just some steps for you just to be occupied, engaged in this journey, so that you do not just remain idle. Remember, the devil is like a roaring lion looking for who?
To devour.
Someone to devour. So immediately you just let yourself loose. He's there.
You know, as we're speaking there, you know, highlighting some of the books, for example, that Sister White has written there, and some other ones there, someone might be thinking, they're like, they're just books, you know, they're not going to help me with anything. And then we read your K-dramas there, your novel, your romances books there on our phones and whatnot. But how would studying the Bible, reading spiritual books, you know, help one in achieving their spiritual goals?
Okay. So I'm a victim, not really victim. How can I put it? I'm a testimony.
Yeah.
I'm a testimony when it comes to having such a question of saying, how then, what does the Bible do? Like, what can it really do to me if I read it? Then what? I'm a testimony, Zanele. I was a hypocrite. I've been a hypocrite for some time, and I'm speaking this because I have seen the power of God in my life, and I have seen where He's leading me, and I have seen that I underestimated reading the Word of God. There's some things that I used to do then that now, and I think and look back, if I did not embark on this purposely telling myself to say I need to set these spiritual goals, I would still have been doing them. I was a hypocrite. I used to judge, you know. I used to, when I just look at someone wearing a short skirt, I'm like, why wearing a short skirt? Those people are sinners. You know, those kind of things. And after I started reading the Word of God, my attitude just changed.
Yeah.
I was more certain of myself. I was more sure of what God says. Like Jesus Christ, when he came and walked on earth, you know, he performed a lot of things. He said a lot of parables, a lot of teachings. He mentioned a lot of things. And from those things, I was able to apply them on my life. And I saw myself changing. So from reading the word of God, I saw myself being content. I was never content, Zanele. Let me just say, I was never content.
Yeah.
I would look at my body and look at the body of another person and say, oh, but I think I'm not okay. You know, maybe my shape is not really okay. Well, ish, man. But then after reading the word of God, I became a little bit more content. I was content. You know, even the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 7, you can read those. I think those are taking notes. Yes. You can read that. Be content. It makes you, reading the word of God makes you content enough. You say, I think I accept who I am. I accept how I'm made. For me, I'm speaking on the part of my body. I was never content. But then I realized to say, you know, this is what God has given you. Then what are you going to do with it? Do something about it. You've been given a brain other than not accepting your body. You've been given a brain. You've been given hands. You've been given a mouth. Then do something with what you've been given. I was content. Another thing is you develop an attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
You just be grateful at all times. You know, even the Bible says complaining is not attractive even in God's sight. When we keep murmuring, you know, the children of Israel, what happened to them? You keep murmuring. So whatever just doesn't go your way, you just murmur, you complain, oh Lord, but brother. All that vanishes away. I cannot really say vanishes completely, but as you tend to read the word of God, as you tend to read the Bible, slowly, and I'll forever say this, and I've said this, and I'll say it again, how God works in our lives to change our lives, even up to today, is still a mystery.
Hey.
Well, he uses the Bible. True. Even up to today, it's a mystery. We cannot pinpoint to say, I think he changes our characters like this, like that. When you read that verse, when you read that verse. No, Zanelli. Even up to today is a mystery how God uses the Holy Spirit to change our lives and our perspectives. It's a mystery. So from there, like I said, you develop an attitude of gratitude. And then it makes, I want to speak on this a little bit more. It makes a young woman honorable in her sexual expression.
Okay.
That's reading the word of God. Now, what am I saying? Sexual expression. You become more aware of yourself. You don't just throw yourself anyhow. You will know that you are valued, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so you will know that keeping yourself clean is not for you, but you're doing it because that's what God wants. Or that's a requirement of God. So usually many of us say, no, I can't really be sexually involved because, I mean, my parents will beat me. No, because it won't look nice for the church, with my friends. My friends will laugh at me. But no. When you read the word of God, it actually tells you to say it is a requirement if you are single. It's a requirement of God to be pure, to be pure. Like it's for you. It's what God wants for you. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. So from that, you begin to know how to act maybe with the opposite sex and whatnot. There are a lot of things, Zanele. There are a lot of things. It encourages purity. It encourages trust in God in difficult times. And trust me, the word of God encourages trust in God in difficult times, Zanele.
True.
We can speak of a lot of people. Job. We can speak of, hey. Someone trust God. Even in school, sometimes you find that you get discouraged. So I think mathematics is hard. What will I do? You get discouraged. Your friends are excelling. I think chemistry is hard. Physics is hard. Well, college is hard. I do not know what to do. But you know, when you read the word of God, there's an assurance that you get. And I know maybe people might think she's just saying maybe because it's the word of God. But these things are actually happening.
Yeah.
It's true. Take it from me because, like I said, I'm a testimony. I'm a testimony. I have seen the power of God in my life.
Yes.
I know I have not reached where I want to reach, but in these small steps that I keep taking, I find myself just pouring myself to God to say, I think you know what, Lord? I think you know it better. You know it better than I do. Yes. So Another last thing is it also helps us know how to speak to people.
True.
Words of kindness, you know. People say, no, be strong, be firm, don't be shaky, be focused. Yes, yes, but be kind. You know, you can be calm and kind and yet firm at the same time. So the word of God teaches us that. She gives us courage. You are firm, but yet in a soft and calm manner. You're able to speak kindly to people. You respect people for who they are, regardless of their status in society. All those things, like I say, they're found in the Bible. But then how then can we know if we do not read? So, like I said, it's a mystery up to now on how God is able to use the Bible to change our characters, to be more purposeful, to live a purposeful life.
You are very right there. You are very right, my sister. We must live a purposeful life. And I'm reminded now of the sermon that the pastor did at 8 o'clock, saying that it is well whether it's dry, whether it's raining, whether it's bad, whether it's good, whether it is sweet, it is well. You know, I'm just reminded of that as well. Sister Martha, I'm going to ask that. Can you please offer a word of prayer for our young girls, you know, that they may align their things with God? Because if we do anything without God, we are just wasting our time. So if we can just pray for that.
Okay, thank you. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, my Lord, my God, for your love upon our lives. Father, Lord, you have been good and you remain good in our lives. My Lord, my God, I pray for each and every young woman listening to this presentation and to this radio station. I pray, my Lord, my God, that may you guide our lives, because without you, my Lord, my God, we are not able to do anything. And so we trust and believe that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask and think in our lives. I pray, oh Lord, may you take control of our lives. And Lord, Father, we seek for the fruits of the Spirit to be manifest in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so, my Lord, my God, help us to be firm and realize that we need you more than ever before. All this we ask now and forevermore. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Martha, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day and continue listening to us. Until we chat again next time.
I will continue, definitely.
Indeed. Thank you so much, sis.
Okay.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.